It's good to have one.
Hi, Jerry.
All right, good morning, everybody. Call the ADA board meeting for April 28th to order. And get Corinne to do a roll call of the board members, please.
Mr. Wilkins.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Paraday.
Here.
Mr. Kennedy.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Here.
Ms. Brown.
Here.
Mr. Dick.
Here.
Mr. Bruce.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Would you continue with staff and public, please?
Okay. Since there are a lot of people in the room, I'm going to point to you and please put your name and organization. We'll start with you at the table.
John Springsteen, ADA.
Back corner.
Mark Gardner, Western Financial Group.
Dan Britton, Pentex.
Alan Bailey, Petroleum Engineers.
August Dot Hall, Ag-Type, and Sunny Chief Ag-Type.
Mark Davis, ADA.
Kirsten Roderick, ADA.
Charles Kuhn, Jack White Commercial.
Chad Thompson, Western Enterprises.
Bill Insko, Precision Bank.
Back corner here.
Jerry Severson, ADA.
Chris Anderson.
Do you want to have a ADA?
Bill Phelan, ADA.
Jerry Gita, Department of Law.
John Harrison, ADA.
Elwood Bramer, Alaska Journal of Commerce.
Michael Lamb, ADA.
Chris Longacre, First National Bank.
Todd Nugent, Meridian Park Medical Holding.
Luke Fanning, First National Bank, Alaska.
Kent Crayford, Kalina Partners.
Mike Steadman, Kalina Partners.
Spring Kempinen, ADA. Do we have any public on the phone?
Dan Bronf, KUAC Radio Fairbanks.
Any other public?
Todd McManus, First Bank, Kim and Janice Wold, Crescent Key, Inc.
Any other public?
Julie Nickley, Northern Alaska Environmental Center.
Any more public?
Thank you, Chris. In our packets is our agenda for today. I'll take a motion to approve it, and then there will be one modification. So let's get it on the floor. I'll move the agenda.
Second.
Okay. John?
Yeah, Chair, I'd request that we add an item after 6E, which will be a brief presentation of a board member visit and review of the Red Dog Port Road and Mine facility.
So after 6E?
After 6E. So that would be 6F would be the brief presentation, and then moving IEP update to G, and then executive session to H.
All right. Any objections to that?
No.
Yeah. All right. So the agenda is approved. Next up we have is our public comment section. So I'll remind everybody here to comment online or in the room. Please limit yourself to 3 minutes. We'll need to, for the record, we'll need your name and affiliation. So we will start online. Is there anybody online wishing to make a public comment? Anybody online? Hearing no one online. Anybody in the boardroom? Nobody in the boardroom. I'm closing public comments. Item number 6 is new business. A, loan resolution L16-03, Erickson Investments. John?
Item 6A, loan resolution number L16-03, regards the purchase by the authority of a participation on a loan to Erickson Investments, LLC. The loan will refinance the 11,930-square-foot medical office building located at 3066 East Meridian Loop in Wasilla. It's the policy of the authority that the purchase of a loan participation to be approved by the board if the authority's participation alone will equal or exceed $3 million, or if the aggregate amount of the authority's participation in loans to any borrower or guarantor will exceed $5 million. The dollar amount of this participation is $2,430,000. However, there is a related debt in the amount of $9,931,461. At this time, I'll ask Chris Anderson to present.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Brad, now, when you, if you need something, just speak up so we can hear you, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I know Chris is anticipating that.
He's been saving us.
We all are.
I am going to go through Erickson. I thought I'd just make a real brief comment because there are several deals from commercial for you today, and it's holding a fair amount of increased activity. So,
John, put that on the list.
And just a general comment, I think it's a combination of, you know, general uncertainty in the state, the situation, historical low interest rates, and pent-up demand, and people wanting to, you know, restructure and have that certainty of long-term debt service, some reserves, talking about raising rates, although the news just came out. But I think the perception still is interest rates may be going up, so... With that, I'll go into the Erickson transaction here. John has given a general overview, but the borrower wishes to refinance in order to take advantage of a lower rate and longer term, which is kind of our niche in the market. There'll be approximately 60 new jobs that will be created and 15 jobs retained in this transaction. The managing entity is Wade and Heather Erickson, a husband and wife team. The collateral, we would take a first deed of trust for the first lien position on the improvements. The property itself is known as the Capstone Urgent Care and Algon Interventional Pain Center. It's located on Lydia Loop in Las Vegas. The project was valued at $3.6 million, which gives us a 75% loan to value, and the debt service coverage is estimated at 1.65 to 1. ADA would also take an assignment of leases. As John mentioned, we do have related debt. The borrower has a balance of $2,911,461 and a pending loan, which we will talk about in a few minutes, of $7,020,000. And the Erickson Investments LLC is a 12.8% owner in that credit.
I'm sorry, Chris. What was that? I can't remember your name.
We have a pending loan here of $7,020,000, in which Erickson Investments LLC is at 12.8% owner. So they are related on the guarantor side.
And that's in front of us again today.
Yes.
Which resolution is that?
That is. L16-07. There were no known environmental issues. The strengths that we saw in this credit were strong demand for medical facilities in the Wasilla area due to population growth. This is an established business operation. The guarantors have financial strength, and it's a relatively newly constructed building. We didn't see any extraordinary risk beyond, you know, the typical real estate market cycles. In regards to portfolio diversification, as of year-end numbers, we had 2.34% of the total statewide portfolio in the healthcare industry, and that would increase to 3.06. And for participated loans in the NAPSU region, we're at 2.96%. And that would increase to 7.8%. So, with that overview, I would entertain any questions.
All right, we'll start with Dan.
Yeah, would you like me to put a motion on the table and there is a resolution at this point?
We can put it on the table and have further discussion, or we can do it again.
Yeah,
I might as well do it.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve resolution L1603.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Gary?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Just a question about under economic development and job creation. I don't understand how the 60 new jobs are created. This is just a money deal.
I could probably help with that.
Yeah.
The existing tenants, with the exception of the urgent care, relocating to Langhe schedule. So it'll be backfilling new tenants and new employees.
I'm sorry, say again.
The existing tenants in this facility are relocating to another facility that's on your board package, line E. So the new jobs are created by new tenants in this facility. The tenants
and 60 people lose jobs somewhere else.
I can't answer that.
I guess I'm asking it. When someone says there's 60 new jobs, and we like those kinds of things, but we want to also be accurate. That, to me, says there are 60 new paychecks.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Last week.
If Dr. Erickson is recruiting from outside, that's where he came up with the estimate of the new jobs. I don't know if they're positions from outside of Alaska, potentially, and the new staff will be coming to support them. I can't answer that, but it offers that assumption because there will be new clinics in that building, not relocated clinics.
Not to stop the conversation, which I appreciate, but we need to identify the person, who he is, who he's with, and he should be at the table.
Right. Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
Do you want to just state your name again?
Sure. Todd Nugent, Meridian Park Medical Holding. I actually constructed and developed the building that you're reviewing for Dr. Erickson in 2009.
So the refinance allows different fiscal terms. And once more, where are the new jobs coming from?
My impression of the new job estimate that they've provided with the package is that building, the clinics that are in the building, Algon Interventional Clinic, is exiting that building, coincidentally, not due to this refinancing, but they are exiting this building. So it's my assumption that Dr. Erickson is providing new jobs estimate for new clinics that are going to go in that building, in that medical part.
I wonder if... Just err on the side of accuracy that if the board would allow just to delete that sentence. If we're not sure, I think it causes a little bit of confusion and it really doesn't add to the refinance part. I would move that we delete approximately through retained in economic development and job creation.
Second by anyone?
Second.
All right. Discussion?
Yeah. I'm going to speak against the motion because it's related, I think, to also loan resolution L16-07, in which this community that all frame as a medical community on Seward Meridian in Wasilla is expanding, and I think it will create jobs. I know other professional sponsors in the area have created greater economic expansion. What jobs will be lost? I think it's a function of competition in the healthcare industry. The greater Wasilla area and the Matthew Borough are expanding. And this healthcare expansion has been delayed. We've seen in the Anchorage area a tremendous healthcare expansion in the last decade. Now we're seeing that expansion in a population and a demographic that has 100,000 people. So in my opinion, I believe the number is reasonably accurate.
Sure. With that explanation, with the agreement of the second Alderman motion.
Okay. I do, Mr. Chairman, though, but if you don't mind, I appreciate that, Dan, but this is probably the fifth time we've had this conversation around this metric.
Yeah.
On these packages, and I do think we need to figure out a way, John, that we can maybe try to get more accuracy and diligence around how we report that.
Mr. Chair, if I could, it looks like we've got two related businesses here, and you're creating jobs in both of them. And I'm wondering if there's some jobs that are being created by one of them which are being double counted because of the way you're doing this. Is it, you know, some are being retained, some are being, but
this
what's the net?
This is
the
a
function
form
here?
That's put in front of the board,
right.
And it's an estimate.
Right. We we understand that, but if one of them is causing them to move to the other. And then we're filling in these. You don't have a net. The net is what's interesting to the board, I think.
And I would recommend if it's put in front of the borrower that's verified.
Yeah.
You know, that's accurate. Because one of our missions is the economic portion. And that's related to the, you know, to the what I would call advantageous rates that we charge.
Mm-hmm. And I think if we could, since we've been, you know, this is a refinances, and
yes.
Is that in fact the best use of our money?
Right.
Yeah, I support Board Member Burnett's comments on that. That I think the overall job creation could be overstated in respect to Board Member Wilkins' comments too. And I'm also suggesting that if people are in the valley, I'll volunteer to drive board members around to show you what's happening on Seward and Meridian so you can maybe better understand mm-hmm. its whole development. And so the recommendations by my colleagues, I think, are fair and good questions.
Well, typically under new construction, we'll have, you know, temporary construction on the permanent, and they're new jobs in the building. But I think when you're doing a refinance, it's a different story. I think really it's almost contained, or how many jobs would ultimately be in that facility, and not related.
Oh, no, not a problem.
I think that would be a better definition under refinance because obviously it's either retained jobs.
Yeah.
Or they're going away, and it's something else. So, you know, that's. I don't think new construction refinancing should be treated the same way as far as what the applicant fills out.
We like new jobs.
Yeah. Okay. Any further questions?
Yeah, just one other thought. I mean, this whole concept is so related to L16 -07. I mean, really, those in the order of the agenda should have been maybe even discussed or back to back, because in just a few minutes we're going to further discuss the other item, which, in my opinion, is a tremendous economic benefit for the community out there, and I understand that the refinance, there's the word is out on refinance, and we're seeing some of these come forward.
So Chris, quick question. So the cash flows on this particular piece of property will be self-generated by the owner or tenants, just for the record?
Cash flow is by the tenants.
By the tenants. And short-term, long-term leases by the tenants?
Yeah.
Years.
12 years. 12? Yep. Okay. Relatively long. 12 years.
One tenant, bunch of tenants?
There are multiple. Yeah, two primary tenants. That's correct. It's not like a multiple. I'll go on interventional pain center. Vision care. Leases include Algon Pain, Capstone, Urgent Care. Those are the primary tenants.
Yes. I didn't see terms, and I didn't see the amounts. Is there a cash flow analysis on the property?
Well, there is, but it's in your credit presentation, not in the memorandum.
So.
You see this, Dan?
Yeah, I see it, but it's there.
On page 3 under your income approach, to the average rent, vacancy, net operating income, debt service coverage,
right,
capitalization rate. So it's a synopsis.
And then the debt coverage ratio, I see that.
Right.
I just didn't see how it was broken down by tenant. You know,
well,
was a 90-10 split or?
Right. We don't always do that in your credit presentation, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, two tenants, it's multiple, but it's not like 10 or 12.
Well, do you think on a refinance it would be advantageous to understand the strength of the tenants? Because obviously we're expecting the cash flow based on those tenants.
Yes.
Term, you know, obviously you look at the term and the lease.
Right.
And if they're current and whatnot, but to see.
Typically, when you do commercial real estate financing, you rely a lot on the commercial appraisal. You certainly read it. You either disagree or agree with it. You're not typically underwriting the credit strength of the tenant.
But you're using the cash flow from those underwriting, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about a refinance, not taking out a construction loan for a new. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, but the concept is the same, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you would be taking it to a whole other level if you're trying to underwrite all of the tenants in the multi-tenanted building.
Well, you would have a history of the building, of the tenants, right? And if they missed any payments or whatever, lease payments. I'm just curious if we drill down.
Well, we have cash flow, usually, historical cash flow. But it's not broken down by individual tenants in the analysis.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm speaking in favor of my motion on the table. I've been in this building several times, and I just want to share with the other board members, in my opinion, it is a superior construction quality of a medical office. And then also the last thing I want to add, Mr. Chairman, is on page 2 of the write-up by staff regarding Vince Cohen, certified general appraiser for statewide. I've used this independent appraiser from time to time and think very highly of his opinion on estimating value of property. So I just kind of want to share those two things with the board that weren't necessarily in the write-up. And I almost took a picture of this whole complex. Janet and I were driving by it just the other day, and I go, I bet this would be helpful if there was a photo so everybody could see the layout of this economic expansion that's happening on Seward Meridian. And I will offer, if you don't make it out of the valley, on June 22nd, we do a drive-by.
All right. Well, they take you up on that day.
Okay.
All right. Ready for questions?
Yeah.
Questions. Corinne?
Mr. Wilkin.
Hi.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Mr. Chairman, are we voting on the amendment or was it withdrawn?
The amendment was withdrawn. We're voting. We're the main motion for the
Aye.
Resolution.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Cruz.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Brian. Item B, loan resolution L16-04, Kalinin Partners LLC. Russell, would you put it on the table?
Sure, I'll move by resolution number L16-04.
Second. Thank you. You're up again, Chris.
Yeah, I guess I am. Kalinin Partners LLC is a 90% participation with First National. Ada's participating amount is $6,390,000. It's a 15-year fixed loan participation. FMBA's percentage interest would be at a variable rate. The guarantors are Kalinin Holdings, Inc., Air Extrusions, LLC. Is it Kalinin or Kalinin? Okay, thank you. Aviation, LLC. Kent Crayford, Michael Crayford and James Stedman. It is to refinance a hangar and multiple aircraft in Juneau. The borrower will benefit by restructuring their debt, lowering their interest rate, reducing their monthly payment. And this business supports and provides economic benefit to many southeastern communities. Approximately 15 to 30 jobs will be created and 15 jobs sustained as a result of this loan purchase. The management of the principals, which are Kent Crayford, CEO, James Stedman, and CEO, Kent has experience in aircraft management dating back to 2004, and James has been a pilot in southeastern Alaska for over 30 years. Alaska's heat planes have grown considerably over the last few years, expanding their service to new routes, taking on additional essential air services, EAS, and mail contacts for outlying communities. They also acquired one of their primary competitors, Air Excursions, in 2011, resulting in a smaller number of carriers operating in northern southeast Alaska. Wings of Alaska recently announced it has been closing all of their Alaska operations. So it appears that there will be a significant reduction in the number of flights as a function of the sale. And so as a result, seaplanes will likely have an opportunity to significantly increase their market share in those routes previously owned by Wings of Alaska. In this credit, we would take a deed of trust recorded first lien on the hangar, and which is in Juneau. That's valued at $1,375,000. And then Douglas Solberg, who's a seasoned aircraft appraiser, provided appraisals on the aircraft with a combined value of $8,447,000. So the combined collateral loan value is 70%. The combined entities have established sufficient cash flows to service the proposed debt for the past 2 years, providing a debt service coverage of 3.11 to 1 and 1.35, respectively. There, again, is more information on that in the credit presentation. ADA will require an assignment of the City of Juneau land lease, as well as release provisions on all of the aircraft. There were no known environmental issues. The strengths that we saw in the credit were the guarantor financial strength, experienced operators, the outlook for tourism appears to be excellent. There's minimal competition in an expanding market and slightly lower loan values than our maximum of 72%. And we saw as a weakness, just generally speaking, the industry itself. However, that's mitigated by insurance and safety programs that they have in place. The portfolio diversification, again, at year-end numbers, we had 0.05% in our portfolio statewide in the aircraft industry. So not a lot of exposure there. This increase is 1.96%. And for participated loans within the Southeast region, we actually have none, and that would increase to 10.74% in the Southeast. So I would be open to questions.
Thank you. Chris, once again, on page one and other places in the presentation, he helped me with the refinance, creating 15 to 30 jobs.
Just an estimate. What would you like to know?
My name is Kent Crayford. I'm with Clean and Partners. And the jobs are a result of growth. We started this process with FNBA middle of last year, and after initiating the process, we've actually acquired three additional aircraft on the expectation that we would do this loan. One of those loans actually just came in January through FNBA, so the refi is actually in part refinancing a temporary short-term loan that we used as a bridge to get to today.
If ADA didn't do this loan, would those jobs go away?
No, they would not.
Once again, I like to create jobs, we all do, but I like to make sure that data that we vote on and the data that we represent is correct to the public, be correct. And if I look at this, it says because of this loan, 15 to 30 new jobs were created. I'm not sure that's correct. So, John, I think we need to wrestle with this problem a little bit in the interests of being accurate, because I don't think we are being accurate. We are, I think we're fluffing up the package. So, I don't, well, let's just see how the board feels. I would move that the last sentence in economic development and job creation be stricken from the memorandum. Also on page 1 and page 6, I would move additionally, I would move that those that the claims of jobs created and jobs retained be stricken.
Okay, so let me catch up with you. You want to remove the whole economic development and job creation paragraph?
No, I just want to remove those pieces of this presentation that relate to 15 to 30 jobs being created, and I find that in three places. One, the last sentence on the memorandum on page 1 under economic development. Second place is on the credit presentation, the confidential credit presentation under jobs created, and on page 6 of that presentation, there's a paragraph under job creation that suggests that 15 to 30 jobs are created because of this loan. I suggest that that's not accurate.
If I could ask, before we go to that, how many jobs will be retained? It says 15. So is that all the jobs that will be working out of this facility?
If I could just say, we're growing and we've grown. Our payroll will grow 30% this year over last year. We've added 17 aircraft seats. Those three aircraft representing those seats need to be staffed and maintained and serviced. Those are the jobs that are resulting from this. To I guess better clarify my answer to the previous question, this loan didn't create those jobs, but those airplanes created those jobs. Without those airplanes, those jobs would go away. We are able to get those airplanes because of this loan and the interim loan that we were given to acquire them. So, which money creates which job, that's kind of not our business. We just fly the airplanes and get people where they're going. But, so I don't know that I can directly answer your question other than to say our growth has been facilitated in large part by this financing.
So if I read that right, then it is with the aircraft and the hangar associated with it, the combination creates the additional growth, 30% that you're anticipating.
Yeah, our payroll growth will grow 30% this year. And
so the hangar is essentially a support product of your airplane.
Correct, yeah, but we, yes, that's right.
So it's... Jerry?
Mr. Chair, if I could, we have a motion on the table for the resolution here. I believe that Mr. Dick put it on. The discussion about the memorandum of supporting documents is really not germane to the approval of the, how our staff presents that information is not germane to the approval of the resolution. I think we should stick to that in our discussion of the resolution. And the other discussion is really something that is a separate matter between the board and the staff in terms of how they present jobs.
So there's Gary?
Chairman?
The approval of this second, I will withdraw my motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Just a minute, Fred.
Go ahead. And as long as I have the floor, I would ask John that we have some discussion on this particular item. I mean, I'm happy for your expansion. I'm happy for all of that. But I'm not happy when what we put in our packets doesn't represent the effect of our vote. We need to be accurate. We're not accurate. And so that's what concerns me from a data standpoint. I mean, we're going to help you all we can, expand all we can. But we want to make sure the public looks at our books and what we represent as our activities to further that to be accurate. And I don't believe this is accurate. But that's that's this issue, and I'm asking Dana and John to put that on the table sometime for some discussion.
Okay.
All right, with that, thank you.
Okay. Brad?
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to offer to Deputy Commissioner Burnett's comments that the memorandum says that staff recommends approval as presented, and the presentation to us is the memo, although as I read further in our packet, the resolution we're adopting is L-1604, which does not reference the specific stop. So I'm going to join Mr. Wilkins in suggesting that we have our staff rework these issues, and I feel they come before us in kind of a pro forma way, and I'd like to tighten our accountability, but I agree with Deputy Commissioner Burnett that the resolution is the motion before us.
Thank you, Fred. I think we have a path forward. Mm-hmm. Any discussion on the resolution?
Mr. Chair, I have a question. I read this and I'm going to support the resolution, but I am a little concerned with long-term lending in smaller aviation, general aviation in Southeast Alaska, because there has been a tremendous turnover in companies over time. And, you know, they're able to do this because they're acquiring companies that are going out of business. There's a number of names that I could go through in the last 25 or 30 years that no longer exist. So it's something that we should be careful, but the credit package looks good, the business is good. I would trust to fly on these planes. And, well, so I'm supportive of the resolution, but I think it's something that, you know, really need to look at the underlying background of the businesses and this kind of a thing. But I don't think there's a lot of information here that really helps us with that.
Okay. Well,
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Fred.
I want to follow along, and I had a couple questions for Chris. One, in the collateral and value, it notes that ADA will require an assignment of the City of Juneau land lease. I want to make sure that the land lease is, the term of the lease is coincidental with the term of the loan or exceeds it.
Yes.
Because part of the premise of the collateral is the value of the hangar, and if the lease expires under which on which the hangar is sited before the loan is expired, then there's a gap there that causes us to experience risk.
Yes.
What is
I agree. Our standard operating when we take in assignments of land lease like this is the land lease has to be at least 10 years beyond the term of the loan.
I'm typically familiar with 1.5 times the term of the loan.
2049 is the term.
I'm familiar with 1.5 times the loan. In other words, 50% longer. So,
well,
three-year loan, you're asking for a 13-year lease. Is that kind
minimum,
of
minimum? Minimum. Yes. But this particular lease goes to 2049.
So. Okay. That's a good point, Fred. What else do you have?
I just wanted to question, and I don't think there's a way to reduce this to a cash flow analysis, but it's been reported in the media that the ferry system plans to reduce service by more than 20%. I don't have complete confidence in media reports. I'm curious if we had inquired at DOT directly. And secondly, it says that much of that traffic will need to fly. I presume some piece of that traffic would, in fact, choose not to travel, given the change in expense. Nonetheless, I just think that this could have been strengthened, but it is what it is, and I'm ready to vote.
All right. So I have a couple quick questions. At the end of the lease, does the improvements on the land revert to the landowner, or is there a renewal option?
of their renewal option. Renewal option.
Does the city of Juneau get the improvements for at the end of the lease, or does the owner renegotiate a new lease?
They renegotiate a new lease. I don't recall if there's a renewal option.
I don't know.
Because it's such a long term.
But
typically you would renegotiate. You would just let the improvements go back.
Industry standard other than is the improvements go to the every port authority in lower 48, every airport, improvements go to the landlord. And I'm just curious what Juneau is. I think Merrillfield, it goes to the municipality. But do we know that?
Often does that happen? That if somebody's private, they own the improvements.
At the end, and then the private person leases it from the municipality.
Again.
Right, exactly. That's
the improvements at appraised rate.
Right.
But they don't own the building anymore. State is different. Both rural and international airports are different.
I know city and borough of Juneau, docks and harbors, is as you describe it,
yeah.
Because we have a lease with them.
Okay.
The yacht club.
I'm just curious.
Luke Fanning with First National.
Sure.
On this credit.
I'm Luke Fanning from First National Bank, Alaska, and Kent may also have something to say about this as well. Industry standards that the improvements do revert back to the landowner. As a matter of practice, given that the lease matures in 2049 and that this is the ADA portion being a 15-year loan, there's close to 200% of the term of the loan in the remaining lease. Also, as a matter of practice, it's typical with city and state leases for the negotiation process to be typically on good terms, and at least that's been our experience with municipal land leases.
Okay. So is the legal structure of the ownership of the facility arm's length from the legal ownership of the air taxi certificate and the owner and the separate ownership of the aviation asset?
Honestly, yeah, I'll have to speak to that.
Kent Crayford again. Yes, we have operating entities, and then we have Clean and Partners, which holds the assets and we send them back. And they're all commonly owned by a parent company.
Okay. Is there any cross liabilities should an accident happen to those assets by the common parent?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I would probably, but we do set this structure up. It's very common in our industry to do it that way, and it's advised by our risk folks, our insurance folks, to do it that way. So it's established, purposefully to try and limit liability. But
what is your seat liability?
$1 million per seat.
Per seat. Okay.
Which is more than the required.
That's a lot more than the minimums still required.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that there is a separate entity from a legal standpoint, so that if there's a problem, which we hope there never is, that the asset doesn't get tied up into a problem. So, okay, thank you. Any further questions? Fran, can you pull the board, please?
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Cruz.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Grant. Next up is loan resolution L16-05, Crescent Key Incorporated.
I'll move the resolution, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Thank you. John.
And so this regards the purchase by the authority of participation in the loan to Crescent Key. The loan provides term financing for a newly constructed 104-unit expansion of the self-storage facility in Ketchikan, as well as refinancing of existing term debt. Chris?
So this loan participation is for a newly constructed 104-unit expansion of the self-storage facility in Ketchikan. And for refinance the existing debt as well. The project itself is a 460-unit self-storage facility. The economic benefit of refinancing is to lower the interest rate and improve the stable cash flow. Approximately 25 construction jobs were created. One permanent job was created, three jobs retained. The borrowing entity is managed by Ken Gold, who has owned and managed a self-storage facility since 2001. Mr. Wold is a well-known commercial real estate appraiser and owns his own appraisal firm, Alaska Appraisal Associates Incorporated. Ketchikan economy is supported by tourism, fishing, timber, ship repair, construction, industries, and the near-term economic outlook for these industries appears to be fairly stable currently. A 2015 survey of self-storage facilities in Ketchikan found occupancy rates at 95% plus, so this does suggest pent-up demand in the market. We would be taking a first deed of trust on the facility. The lien would cover the locations owned and operated by this borrowing entity, and the collateral package will include a security interest in the equipment and fixtures as well. The property was appraised. The lease fee value of the property was $6,167,000 after adjustments. And this project has a 75% loan to value. Net income from the project will service at 1.57 to 1. There's no related debt, no environmental issues. The strengths that we saw were collectively the debt service coverage, as I indicated. The project has an excellent history of profitable operations with the old ownership. And the project is well established and has a state of perceived weaknesses, the Wold's net worth is concentrated in the assets of Crescent Key, and this we felt was somewhat mitigated by the subject property's history of profitable operations. The portfolio diversification, year-end numbers, 3% of the total statewide portfolio is secured by the warehouse self-storage properties, rather, and this is 4.2%, and for participated loans within Southeast, 1% currently, which would increase to 8.2%. We did, when we analyzed this appraisal, come up with what we considered to be an error, and we went back and forth with the appraisal. We decided to get a third-party appraisal review, and we just received that. We're currently analyzing it. My opinion is that this value and loan amount will probably go down, but not to what I would consider to be a material dollar. Probably under a couple hundred thousand would be my estimate. But I wanted to bring this in for approval, and if there is a future adjustment, if it is not material, I think that Johnson. So I would be open for questions.
So can we do that, John, on our resolution that has specific numbers in it?
Yeah. I'm informing it's down and not up.
Yeah. And then this allows permission for loan participation up to this amount. I think proper handling, if there were an approval by the board today, that we would make note of the adjustment and inform the board of the adjustment.
All right. Questions from board members? Fred?
Good.
Seeing none, Corinne, would you pull the board, please?
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Cruz.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Now we're D. Loan resolution L16006, City Center, West Illinois.
I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution L16-06.
Second. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Ursula.
So this loan will refinance the newly constructed retail strip mall located in Wasilla. The dollar amount of this participation is $1,080,000. However, there is related debt in the amount of $10,035,832. And that's why we need to bring it before the board. Chris?
Thank you. The purpose of this loan is the economic benefit, I should say, of the refinance is to lower the interest rate. And there will be approximately, well, it benefits the cash flow, it benefits the tenants who are primarily small businesses, and approximately two jobs will be retained as a result of this. Borrowing entity is managed by Western Enterprises Incorporated, which has extensive experience in the commercial property management business. The Palmer Wasilla commercial market has experienced strong growth over the past decade. Retail expansion in the core of Wasilla Central business district has generated synergies and attracted compatible users. The overall occupancy for retail spaces in Wasilla are estimated to be in the 90 to 95% range. We would take a first deed of trust on this property. The appraised lease fee value of the property is $1 million. The project has a loan to value of 75% and the debt service coverage ratio is 1.61. The Borough Ranger and Tours have seven related loans and one participation commitment totaling $10,035,832. There's no known environmental issues. The strengths, plural, is the debt service coverage. There's an outside financial support that's available from the guarantors with strong net worth and cash flow. And the owners are experienced in the commercial development and management of this type of property. Perceived weakness, the overall exposure and concentration to the guarantors and to the Wasilla Center project is weighted in commercial real estate. But again, we felt this was offset or somewhat mitigated by the strong net worth of the guarantors. In regards to portfolio diversification, statewide portfolio for retail, $20.6 million as of year end, which would go up to 24.6%. And okay, I'm sorry, I misquoted that. 20.6% currently would go up to 20.8 statewide, and then in the region we're at 24.06, and that would go up to 26. You open for questions.
Best question.
Yeah, not a question. Can I make a comment at this time?
Sure.
Yeah, I know this project, been in the project, know the owners, the manager of the property. I see once a week in my Rotary Club meetings. And Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you remember when we were driving around Oslo, we drove in and looked at that expansion. And really, it's the result of private sector being able to meet the huge expansion of small business in the greater Wasilla area. And this project is a quarter mile from City Hall in Wasilla, where we'll be having the June board meeting. So I'm speaking in favor of the refinance. I think the words on the street on the refinancing on the areas, yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
You bet. Chris, I have a couple quick. First, on the previous one, I forgot to mention that I appreciated the picture of it. Under this credit presentation, I won't go into detail, obviously, this is confidential, but I do appreciate the summary of leases. You know, who they are, what the term is, whatnot. I think that's good information for us. But on the lease expiration, so what is a typical... All the leases are up by within 4 years. What is a typical lease? Is it 3 to 5 years, 10 years? What do you know?
On retail, they tend to be shorter. A lot of them are a couple of years.
Okay.
And I would say for retail, 5 years is long term.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was my question there?
Mr. Pruitt, I'm just Chad Paulson. I can speak to that as well. We primarily deal with small business incubators. That's what we're providing service for. In our 45-year history of with Western, we've built countless buildings. Our niche is small space. So, you know, yeah, you get a hospital business in there. You're looking at 10, 15, 20-year leases. But on these smaller spaces, most of our tenants are expand within our property. So a 3-year flexible lease is the way to go. In Anchorage, most of my warehouses that I have are 2 years, and they extend over and over and over. You know, my average tenant is a 10-year tenant. So.
Okay, thank you. All right, any further questions? Fred, did you pull the board?
Oh, Mr. No, Mr. Chairman.
Did you have something, Fred?
Yes. I thought you heard me.
I did not.
I just have a quick question, and it regards the waiving of ADA's prepayment penalty fees. If those penalty fees are standardized, and I presume they serve a purpose, which I'd like to hear Chris speak to, why would we consider waiving them?
We do have a prepayment penalty, and it is tied into the front part of the loan. In other words, it's called in the industry a 5-4-3-2-1. And so, you know, if they prepay the loan, if they pay you off in the first year, there's a 5% prepayment penalty, and then it gravitates down, you know, for the first 5 years, and your fifth year, you know, it would be 1%. After that, there's no prepayment. So, in this particular case, the borrowers would like to pay it down potentially more quickly than some, but I believe it's only $50,000 per year for this. And so, you know, we're not being asked to waive the prepayment penalty for full payoff, but we're saying if they wanted to pay down the principal $50,000 a year, we would allow them to do that. That's a negotiated item.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred. All right, Quinn, I think we're ready to call the board first.
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Yes, Commissioner Faraday.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Yes, Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Bruce.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, friends. All right. Item E, loan resolution L16-07, Meridian Park, MOB, LLC.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to for approval of a resolution 16-07.
Thank you.
Second.
So this is a new construction.
Yeah. Yay. Save the best for last. Okay, this is a loan participation request from First National in the amount of, the gross loan, $7,008,000, and 8 is 90% participation, $7,020,000. We would be at a 25-year fixed rate. FMBA would be at a variable rate of 12 and a half years. There are multiple guarantors. Hopefully I'll get these names right. John Grisham, Matt and Stacy Halala, Wade and Heather Erickson, Todd Nugent, Jeffrey Bell, Evan Wolf, Jeff Simmerville, William Von Gardner, and Garth.
Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom. Kind of rolls off the tongue. Okay. This is turning out new construction of the medical building, 38,500 square feet in Wasilla. Approximately 30 new jobs would be created, 70 jobs retained. The borrowing entity, management of the borrowing entity is managed by Capstone Family Medicine, LLC, which is 75% owned by Wade Erickson. We would take a first lien on the facility. The major tenant is the Surgery Center of Wasilla, LLC. Additional tenants are Alaska Foot and Ankle Specialists, Capstone Family Medicine, Capstone Family Medicine, UK, and Algon Interventional Pain. The project was appraised at $11.5 million, which gives us a 68% loan value. Projected net operating income will service the debt 1.55 to 1. and we would require an assignment of leases. Borrower has two related loans with ADA with a combined balance of $4,250,329, as well as a pending loan, which we just discussed, for Erickson Investment in the amount of $2,430,000. The existing loans have paid as agreed. Upon approval of the subject loan and the pending loan, the total outstanding balance of the ADA portion of the loans would be $15,700,329. There are no known environmental issues. The strengths that we saw in the credit were the fact that it's new construction, strong guarantor, financial strength, experience in the medical industry, a somewhat lower loan to value, 68%, and high demand for healthcare facilities in Los Angeles. General perceived weakness, it is a special use facility. However, we thought that that was mitigated with the strength. In regards to the portfolio diversification, year-end numbers, it has 2.72% of the statewide portfolio in the healthcare industry, and that would increase to 4.73%. And in the MAP 2 region, we're currently at 2.87%, and that would increase to 2% in the next year.
So any questions for Chris? Jerry?
Well, just to prove there's not a dead horse, I can't beat one more time. to put these two together, we have the refi earlier and this new foundation, which is, of course, much appreciated. We've represented to the public, we've created 90 new jobs, and we've retained 95. I mean, that's just patently not correct. So I can rehash all this, but we need to change how we handle this, because we are not providing valid information to the public. So, thank you.
Okay. Dan?
Yeah, the picture on the big board is, I think, misleading, because that was a photo of the refi we did a few actions ago. The new construction, I think all the steel is erected, they're working on infrastructure that's in process, and I think it'll just be, no pun intended, but a capstone of expanded medical facilities for the fastest growing area in the city.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're trying to pull up the microphone.
Chris, so
there it is.
So that's what I saw.
Oh, there.
There
hey, Chris, so on your collateral and value, this is collateralized only by the property? No personal, there are no personal
well, they're guarantors.
Guarantors?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they're all guaranteeing that the deed of trust is taken off the property.
Okay. Is that the confidential part of it?
No. That's on the base page here, the grant guarantors. And it shows, it lists all of your guarantors. They were guaranteeing. Right under
the
borrower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so each one individually? More than here's on the record, actually. Trying to get stuff on the record. All right, so there was a statement from the borrower. Is it from the borrower? Go ahead.
Yes, so the after the ADA loan application was prepared by the First National Bank, we were able to complete the design of the tenant improvements for the foot and ankle clinic, the pharmacy, and the pain clinic on the upper floor. The first floor is just a warm shell lease to the surgery center of Wasilla, but the other are including tenant improvement costs. If it's possible for your board approval, we would like to increase the loan amount from the 7.8 with First National's participation to 8.1 to cover the additional costs.
8 by 5 would be 75 cents. Sorry, that's not.
Okay.
All right. Further questions from the board?
Fred,
just checking, making sure.
Good to go.
All right, Fred, would you pull the board, please?
Wilkins.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Day?
Yes.
Mr. Pruitt?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Let the record reflect that Sherry straightened the building out. Took it from an 8-story building to a 2-story building.
Yeah. Very nice. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is on the revised agenda is item 6F, Red Dog.
You're only wondering.
That's a new one.
That's a good
one. No, okay.
I was thinking about reducing it. Michael's over the water.
Did you see Chris? Dan,
yeah,
and Elaine, you're up.
So we took, if you don't mind, for the board, we're going to take 3 minutes and just give you a report of the real interesting trip we made about a month ago up to Red Dog. And has everybody been up there in the room? Yeah. Okay. So we'll go relatively quick. And Elaine, if you want to make any comments as we go along. I thought this put it in perspective of the Google picture. Thank you very much, John. So next slide. We've seen a lot of these. It was still winter up there. We flew into Kotzebue, had a layover, and then took a much smaller aircraft into the strip. Everybody's been up there.
Next one. Yeah.
So I thought this picture was kind of interesting because at the facility, they have their org chart that's got like everybody's picture, and you kind of get to know the changing org chart up there. That was very interesting, and I think we want to thank Matt a lot for the extraordinary amount of time he spent helping us understand probably the most significant investment that we have in our portfolio right here. Next slide. So the day one, we went up and looked at the mine site itself, and I think these two pictures are real interesting. This very large drill rig, and then a few minutes later, we were on the other side of the mine, and that's the exact same drill rig. So, I mean, it puts in perspective the size of it. Next slide. Our next adventure was taking the road down to the port facility, a couple of shots as we went along the way. Big ore trucks, and finally into the port.
And that was a 25,000-gallon fuel truck that was driving down the road.
Yeah. There it is.
Built a good road.
Coming up from the port, yeah. And then the ore truck was coming back empty. Excellent.
Yeah. How many tons of those trucks haul?
Yeah. Several.
I think it's good to note here, one of the mitigating measures was the covers that are put on these door trucks, just to make sure that there's dispersed.
Most expensive product, they don't want to lose any.
Right. Yeah, the cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, at the port, I was real interested to see the medical facilities that are up there, and they've actually used these medical facilities in the summer when ships get out at the end of the dock, and they've had emergency situations with workers on the ship. Getting our safety briefing. Safety is just a paramount concern up there, both in the mine, obviously, and on the port. They're constantly going over safety and looking how they can do everything better. They have lost lives up there over the history of the port. Am I saying 3 people of the whole project? So safety is very, very concerned, and that might have been with the previous owner, Kameko. It's now Cap.
Next slide. Going kind of rapidly here. Everybody's been up there and seeing it. And then I wanted to show everybody the chairman's office. That's his corner office. He's got the best view of looking at the port, the tank farm. And so there you go, John. That's your office here. Begin to tour the facility when we're up there. It's kind of the second major tour we have. And this trench is very, very important. Do you know what that trench is for? Board members, what's the big trench for? It's runoff. It's runoff of the roof. And they had a, I think they referred to as a century rainstorm a few years ago, which just overwhelmed them with being able to treat water off the roof. So they're constantly adjusting our investment up there to try to make it safer, as we already mentioned, and more environmentally sound. This slide has a theme, and it's the conveyor system from the warehouse facility, and the acronym is Elaine. What was the acronym for?
I don't remember.
Taking it out all the way out through the conveyor systems, all enclosed, out to the port. Next slide. Okay, this is where the ore trucks come in and open up, drop in into the hopper. The operator, I was pretty impressed with the technology up there. It just seemed like it was the latest industrial technology, where the operator's looking at every element of the facility where they drop the concentrate into. Slide. Looking at tide water was real interesting. And inside the facility, we took a photo on the wall of a tremendous storm coming off the Chukchi Sea. And then we put that slide in relation to the facility with calm waters. It was real interesting that they had to construct this for the extreme storms that we see in the upper right hand corner. Next slide. So the facilities also used, just not by TAC, our investment, they also sublease to another adventure that was up there. Does anybody know what the helicopter's in relation to? They're taking polar bears. Okay. So there was a crew from the Federal Fish and Wildlife up there, and they were on expedition. And one day, they actually tagged six polar bears that were about 80 miles away from the facility. So they had an operation, an Alaskan operation, with a helicopter pilot, a maintenance guy, and then three experts with tagging polar bears. So it's not just for mining operations up there. The facility's used for other endeavors. And I think we're just about to the end of the slide, but this was my favorite. This is a real nice photo going back up to the mine mill. That's the Brooks Range. I thought that stood out real good. That was kind of one of my favorite scenic photos, just to have that on our personal level. Next slide. The tour of the mill. Elaine,
oh, man. This was quite hot. When you go through there, you climb up and down. Everything is so... The facilities were built so many years ago, and they have added so many other structures and operations within the equipment within. So you are... It's a maze. It's a puzzle. And they had a water... or there was some leaking water when we were up there, so we had to go around and find new routes through, which made it even more fun. But this is where the zinc and the lead are separated, and you actually go by the lead in one area and then the zinc in another. And so it's the lead was beautiful. It was air, they use air bubbles and everything to get the lead to come up to the top. And I literally wanted to stick my hand in the plate because it was pretty. But the amount of product that goes through there was incredible, and the amount, the detail that, and the safety that everybody paid attention to was incredible, and that was what was most impressive about that entire operation, was all the detail that everybody, from staff to management to the workers, put into to the facility.
I think you're right. The last slide is at the end. So more information is always on the website. I really like how staff keeps the website current with other developments. I think this might be our last slide. Coming out and very cleaning up after we've been through.
We were literally gray.
Or Matt was hard to clean up.
Yeah.
And stuff all over it. So, next slide. Thank you very much. Can I just add, I think one of the most significant elements of our three-day trip up there was talking for a few minutes with the general manager, who is keenly aware of the North Slope, Northwest Arctic Borough, and the potential property tax issue with that. He's... The whole organization is trying to do community outreach, which Elaine and I thought was an effective way to, unlike, we compared it to other Alaskan projects that weren't effective in their community outreach. But I think that could be a future challenge for our organization over the tax issue that could bite into their profitability, which would ripple into our significant investment.
I talked a lot to the employees, and I think I probably talked to a dozen employees. There were only about three of them that still lived in their communities. The rest have migrated, which I thought was really interesting, migrated down to Anchorage and Wasilla. And there were a couple young men, matter of fact, the operator was one of them, who his family, his children are getting to an age where he's looking at moving back to their community, because his children are getting of an age to where they want to hunt. So he's taking them back. They're going to be moving back up north so that they can participate in that lifestyle, which I thought was very interesting, how the demographics have changed.
Yeah. If I could mention one thing, there's a brand new article in the Journal of Economic Development on the Red Dog Mine and the Eight Investments by Bob Butford at University of Alaska. And it goes through those statistics in great detail. And the board's interested in that. I can send them an article.
I'd like to read that.
Yeah, I'll send it to anybody.
Great, thanks.
Yeah. Well, thank both of you.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to really touch and feel our significant assets.
All right, moving on. Next up is the, John, is the IEP update.
Yeah, so the new item 6G is an update on the Interior Energy Project. Included in your packet is an excerpt from the quarterly report to the Alaska Legislature, dated April 5th, 2016. The full report is available online at www.interiorenergyproject.org. Of course, we can provide you the full copy if you'd like. This time I asked Gene Terrio, Bob Shepchick, and Nick Shimoniak to present. Call on others as needed.
And I think for this public section, I'll just give a quick overview, and the others will come to the table if there are questions. We have been successful in advancing the IEP project across all fronts. Negotiations are near conclusion on a gas supply. We have continued to use a plug number of $6 at the $6, which is identified in the quarterly report. We are able to achieve the IEP goal of delivered price in the $15 range to the community. We think, however, that different components of the project continue to develop and break our way, and so we think ultimately we might be able to develop a project that will surpass the community's desire to deliver price or continue to lower that price. Negotiations are also continuing on the consolidation of the utilities. That has taken a bit of a backseat that we have pushed forward with the early works agreement on the plant, getting the Salix, and then also securing the gas supply. But we anticipate moving forward on the consolidation effort soon. We also have advanced PACE legislation down in Juneau so that it is now poised in Senate rules. The House actually adopted the Senate language, so the legislation will not have to go back to the House for concurrence. So we're basically one vote away on the Senate side from passage of the PACE legislation, which will be a big step on the conversion mechanisms being available to help initially with the conversion of businesses, commercial properties, to natural gas. As I mentioned, the gas supply negotiations, we're working out the final details on the pricing term sheet with the gas supplier. We will be prepared to discuss a little bit more of those details in executive session. We're not at the point yet that we can disclose things publicly. On the liquefaction, we continue to negotiate with Salix. We're nearing a final commercial term sheet for the plant. And the tolling agreements that will go along with the product that is produced by that plant. We reached substantial completion on the feed and early work scope and the budget that we hope to present to you for consideration at the next board meeting. Then I did touch on the utility consolidation. We expect to be able to turn our attention more to that effort as we wrap up the details on these other agreements. And then again on the PACE legislation and conversion, we also had a couple of very positive things happen with regards to access to federal funds. Sarah Fisher-Gode, on behalf of the project, wrote to the Rural Utility Service, which is a division of USDA. We had identified a couple of potential sources of funding for loans to make through a PACE mechanism that come at a very low interest rate. We did receive a written response from RUS basically saying and acknowledging that the PACE legislation would qualify as one of the preferred mechanisms that those federal programs are looking for, that it's a rate repayment mechanism that helps to lower risk of default. So that was a good acknowledgement to get. One of the federal funds, source of funds that we hope to tap into comes with about a 2-2.5% interest rate, and another one that is being developed comes with a 0% interest rate. And so we think that access to those funds will be a key part in being able to loan money out to help individuals convert to use of the natural gas. We had anticipated coming to you at this time with a budget resolution and a resolution indicating that we had all the components together to satisfy the requirements of House Bill 105. Should be finishing up that documentation. Those documents are in draft form at this point and would be available hopefully within the next week or two for the board to see in anticipation of a meeting sometime in the next month to move forward on those. And with regards to the PACE legislation, I took it as a very positive sign that Senator Chickie actually asked if he could be the floor leader on that legislation. Him being a former mayor, borough mayor, I thought he would be ideal in being able to explain to his colleagues on the Senate floor that tool, which is a tool that would be able to be used by the local government, he understands it, he understands the benefit of it, and asked if he could help us when we actually get that bill scheduled for Senate consideration. So with that, because a number of these things do have negotiations that are in the process, where the team is prepared to answer more detailed questions on the status of those negotiations in executive session.
Thank you, Gene. Gary?
Two things. So Gene, just reading between the lines, I think you've just given a really good report. So I'm anxious to hear the details. Second thing, do you think, and you know what's going to happen, when this Senate gets back in business, they're going to get a stack of bills this tall on your desk, and they're going to just roll down through there. So, through there, all sorts of things can happen. That the one on the bottom, which will be the PACE legislation, won't get considered. Do you think it would be helpful if Dana called Machiki or Myers and just say, we just want to know this is really important to our project and we want to get it done in. And maybe even, do you think it would be helpful if we just do a draft letter, John does a draft letter signed by all of us, and we send it to Machiki, Senate Finance Rules, and Kevin Meyer, just somehow just to give them, so instead of it being on the bottom of the pile, it's on the top of the pile. Would that be a strategy that you think would help?
And Mr. Chairman, to Mr. Wilkins' question, I think that could be helpful in meetings that Fred Parody and I had, or just myself, with Senator Huggins, the Rules Chairman, and also with President Meyer. We did not get any indication that there was a problem with the content of the bill. And so, as you suggest, we're sort of caught up in the negotiations between the bodies, between the legislature and the administration, on some of the larger pieces. I share your concern that when the logjam breaks and those big pieces move, there is a risk that our small legislation sort of gets perhaps left at the that last hurdle, and we certainly want to prevent that from happening. I fully expect that, should the legislation, both the PACE legislation and the aid of dividend modifications, should they get scheduled, the floor debate, I think, would be rather short. I would anticipate they would pass with no problems. It's just assuring that they get scheduled. So consideration on what we can do to make sure that they don't get left at that last hurdle. Certainly warrants some consideration.
Well, I guess I'll leave it up to you and John and Dana. What we can do is just give that extra little push to move us up in the pile. It sounds like you've got everybody teed up, and it passed the House 40-0, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
Both pieces of legislation had very good committee reports, and the floor votes were unanimous.
Just the mechanics that scare me. So, anyway. So I'll leave it up to you folks.
Yeah, it's a good point, Gary. Collateral damage, you never know. Further questions for Gene? Fred, you have a question?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Fred, do you have the PACE stuff, all the other things you have going on, do you have that sort of teed up have some buttons you can push when the time comes to make sure that it doesn't get swept up in the closeout?
I have my finger right on top of Gene's finger on the right button.
Good luck with that, Fred. That's what I wanted to hear, Fred.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Well, that concludes item G. So next on our agenda, before I go to that, Quinn, is lunch out there?
Lunch is out there waiting for you guys to show up.
So I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board enter an executive session to discuss confidential and financial information related to the Interior Energy Project, Brooks Range Petroleum Mustang Operations Center, and the Skagway Orchard.
Second.
Wait.
All right, I'm going to advise the board does not take any formal action on the matters discussed while in executive session. Gary. So, next up on the agenda is director's comments. John?
So I appreciate our board members' presentation on the Red Dog Road and port system. Alaska is different from the lower 48, and I believe that the Red Dog Road port system provides a great model. It provides a great model for balancing between environment, subsistence, and development in Alaska, so for the record. Now, the loan dashboard and reports, development project matrices, project fact sheets are available for your view in the board packets. Continuing education calendar, if board members are interested in attending a course, please contact Sherry Severson. And the next data board meeting is scheduled for Thursday, May 19th at Ada's office.
Thank you, John. Any questions to John? No? All right. Next up is board comments. Gary?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I have three.
Standing up.
Three brief ones. I just have to, for the record, tell the board and for the record how pleased I am with the progress that the team has made on the IEP. Each meeting we march ahead, and the information we saw today was very heartening. I think that from the day one, this has been a capital-constrained project. We know that every dollar counts, and I'm hoping that as they continue to work down the path to progress, they keep an eye on. And I don't know much about this other than the place where we can say big dollars is in capital. So if we can find plant that is that we can save by the millions, I sure hope that we are looking at that. I just want to put that on the record. And I know they are. I hope we as a board are also focused on those savings, because those are savings that go to the family if we don't put it into the plan. So with that, two other things, if I could. When we sold the shipyard to Vigor 4 years ago, one of the things we asked for was a annual report on local hire, because we were concerned that jobs would migrate to the shipyards in Seattle and elsewhere. So I haven't seen that report for the last 2 years, and I just want to make sure that they know that we expect it. John, if you could ask where that is, to make sure there's no out-migration of Alaskan jobs because of that sale. And the last thing is, I was really uncomfortable then, I hope you were too, with that job created issue. We need to do something about that. And I would suggest, as interim, just take that all out of anything. Unless the developer, unless we can write a hardline paragraph that says this is how 20 jobs are created, just leave it out. Because this agency and others are going to come under great scrutiny in the next year. And if this agency gets tainted with the fact that we're fluffing the books and we aren't really telling the story, that doesn't help us, our credibility as we try to exist to help the people of Alaska. So I was really uncomfortable today. I appreciate the board's indulgence, but that smelled today, and it shouldn't smell something like that. So, John, if you'd do something with that, with your approval, Dana, we need to work that, and there's a way to work it, which we need to talk about. So with that, thank you for your patience and the time.
Thank you, Gary. Other board comments? Dan?
Yeah, I wanted to thank the board for a very productive meeting. And very specifically, I wanted to do two shout-outs to my colleagues, and that's the governmental directors that serve. Not only are they very, very busy running the state government, but they also on their plate, Director Barnett and Director Purdy, Fred, are working extraordinarily, in my view, to help ADA and billion-dollar Alaskan corporation. Thank you guys for all you guys do.
Here. Further comments? Fred?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you, and thank you for those kind words, fellow board member. We all have our shoulder to this wheel. I wanted to echo Gary that I just think the staff needs to think more deeply about our use of jobs data, because it's a linchpin of what we do. We're all committed to a meaningful discussion of that data, and I look forward to seeing what the staff thinks and John bringing that back to us. I wanted to confirm that Sherry's, I was struggling to keep up some of the time from the phone. Sherry's going to kick out that date window that we're keeping open. I also wanted to note, sort of in the vein of the jobs, and this may fit in the strategic planning process, but a deeper discussion of how we deploy our capital, both the roughly $400 million that's on our balance sheet in external investments, if I followed that discussion properly, as well as the way in which we deploy capital into refinancing. And I tagged along with that concern is as the Alaska economy uncomfortably but likely I don't know that there's much that can be done at this level to preclude it as it moves towards recession. I want to be sure we're not caught on the wrong side of a tipping point. And we want to stave that off with our activities to the degree we're able, but I also don't want us caught on the wrong side of a tipping point regarding real estate values. And Chris has inspired confidence with her explanations of occupancy rates and trends and et cetera, but I just feel a black swan lurks under the surface of current numbers, and I want to be sure that we're wary. So as we rethink our job numbers, I'd like to make sure that we have a deeper discussion of our refinancing process and our numbers. And finally, I was going to ask John if he would send me the contract for the strategic plan.
Well, there.
Thank you, Greg. Further board comments? All right, hearing none. I appreciate everybody's time today showing up. And John and staff, all the information you provided, the IEP group, thank you very much. Sherry,
thanks.
Bryn, appreciate that. I will take a motion for adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
We're adjourned.